Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
All right. Sorry. Okay. We're back. Good day to you. Good day to me. We're back. How are we? How are we doing? What's going on? This is my first show, man. Here's the deal. Okay, I thrifted this blue chair, and I was sitting there thinking, you know, we've been thinking about switching the studio setup a little bit, get some guest heavy episodes going, and you know, my editor, my producer, Mr. Luke, he's moving right now. And so we're just kind of doing the thing. You know what I'm saying? We should be back pretty heavy, but, you know, I just wanted to get on here and crank out a show. I just realized I don't have a beverage on me. That's a big grievance. Yeah, I mean, you know, here's the thing, man. Like, I'm on a little smoking break right now. And as a pot smoker, you're always kind of conditioned to have a beverage around. You know what I'm saying? In case you get the damn cotton mouth. And not being on the weed, you kind of realize, like, oh shit, I don't really need a refreshment in hand 24/7. It's good for just not needing stuff, you know what I mean? But maybe bad for hydration, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, welcome to the show. I think this is the 45th or 46th episode, something like that. Like I said, man, we just kind of been dealing with life stuff right now. And it wasn't, frankly, man, I woke up this morning, it wasn't the easiest thing to get here today. But I thought to myself, man, like, this is important. You know what I'm saying? Like, this show is one of the main things in my life that I really, really care about. And so, you know, your boy might pull out the editing skills on this episode. Your boy might, you know, go hop in a taxi cab after the show. Your boy might have a damn slumber party later. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But started a newsletter. Wrote my first one last week. I think I'm going to try to write another one today. And it's a lot like this, but it is different. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're almost able to organically, it's more of an organic solo podcast than a solo podcast is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't really explain it. It's like KFC chicken versus Popeye's chicken. You can't really explain the difference, but it's there. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, what else is going on? I mean, I got some Twitter bookmarks. I'll probably run through some, but, you know, I got a buddy that I think we're going to bring on the show here in a week or two that I would really enjoy seeing his reaction to a lot of these clips. So we'll kind of try and keep it in the middle. You know what I'm saying? I thought about getting the tweaker off the street over here, but, you know, I ain't got $20 in cash right now. You know what I'm saying? To let my boy go get a score real quick. Not that I would condone that. You know what I mean? But, yeah, I mean, you pull in. My neighborhood is a lot of tradespeople. You know, it's a lot of pool guys. It's a lot of master craftsmen. You know what I'm saying? And it ain't the Ritz. You know, it ain't Arrowhead over here in Glendale. It's you pull into my neighborhood and there's a bus stop and a gas station right there in the corner. Get you Zins. You know what I'm saying? Get you a fill up of unleaded. And it's actually, you know, this side of town, the thing about living on a side of town that's not as, I don't want to say not as popular. The thing about living on a side of town where, you know, you might not see as many G-Wagons. The cool thing about it is that at least here in Phoenix, gas is significantly cheaper. It is significantly lower priced. I'm talking like low threes, high twos. You go into Old Town Scottsdale, bro. That damn gas is about $3.50, about $3.75. You know what I'm saying? It's a big difference if you're buying 10, 15 gallons. That's like 10, 15 bucks difference each fill up, you know. So, I mean, you know, that's just where we're at in life, man. I'm worried about the $10, $15, $20 a week filling up the gas tank. It might be one of my biggest strengths. It might be one of my biggest downfalls. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, man, I've been on a real kick on Facebook Marketplace, thrift stores. In fact, let me show y'all something I got here. Ain't that some back home buddies in the field, mud on the whip? Dude, this thing, I don't know. Man, ain't that dope? Ain't that the dopest thing? And then I got George Washington sitting right above.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Oh, man. Watch me get back in this chair. Y'all ain't gonna believe it. Oh, yeah. That was pretty smooth, though. I hope the camera picked that up the way I wanted to. But, like, I got that for $25. Yeah, I got this. I got this love seat for, like, it was listed for $150. And there's this thrift store here in Phoenix. Is a chain of them, and it's called White Dove. White Dove, and they partner with Hospice of the Valley. I think Hospice of the Valley is just like people with terminal illnesses or whatever, and they're taking care of them. So like all the proceeds from the thrift store go to Hospice of the Valley. And I walk into a White Dove last weekend, and I see this guy, this chair. And I was like, oh, shit. That's dope. Let me get my hands on that. But it was $150, and I was like, man, I could do better. I could do better. So I go to the owner of the store, or not the owner, the guy managing the store, because when I was checking out up front getting some artwork, I asked the front clerk, I was like, yo, that blue chair, is there any wiggle room on that at all? I'm like, it's okay if not, but I just want to uncover every stone I can. I really like that chair. She was like, okay, let me go get someone. She brings someone in, and the guy goes, yeah, I can't really speak on that, but my manager can. And I was like, okay. So now I'm a Karen asking for the damn manager. I'm standing here with a couple golf clubs I had grabbed for like $1.50 each. I got me a 3-wood that my golf bag has been lacking, and I hit that 3-wood pure yesterday, by the way, $1.50 club. Finally, the guy comes out. He's like, yo. I was like, hey, man, I don't mean to be weird, but, like, I really like that chair, that blue chair. Is there any kind of deal on it? I know it's Black Friday or whatever it was. And he was like, yeah. Walked me back to it. And I was like, yeah, I'd really like this chair for, like, podcast guests. And he was like, oh, what's your podcast? I told him about the show, all that. And he was like, yeah, you know, I can do like 110. And I shook his hand. I was like, that's that, brother. Appreciate it. And then I walked in the studio this morning and I was like, you know what? Let's take her for a spin. You know what I mean? So yeah, man, I mean, what's going on in the NFL? Last night, 49ers play the Rams, low-scoring game. I'm looking at a highlight from it right now. Check out this offensive line play right here, baby boy. Look at this. Little screen to Nacua, little pancake, another pancake, 69. He's got a hell of a number, and he's got a hell of an engine. Because it looked like he missed that block up front, but then 99, you kind of see it's like a design screen. You know what I'm saying? The thing about the Rams play design, I was watching the Amazon alternate analytics broadcast last night. and it's like showing all the different kinds of motion. The Rams do a ton of motions before the snap. The plays are relatively very simple. But the window dressing before the play is what has made Sean McVay a household coaching name. It's the window dressing. Same with, I mean, the 49ers are struggling this season, and last night all but confirmed they're not going to make it to the playoffs, but like that's made Kyle Shanahan his money too, that window dressing, you know. So I just noticed that a lot, like Nacua coming in toward the formation, maybe going behind the back, doing a long formation. Like they would have, the Rams, they would have like two or three guys motion before a lot of their snaps, a lot of their reps. But yeah, I mean, the weather in that game was shitty. I told myself I would stay off of like time sensitive stuff. I love talking about football on the show, and that's really like the birthplace of this show is talking about football. But it's just so much time sensitivity talking about current happenings in football. It's like, unless you're Pat McAfee with a big ass team of editors and content people, and you're able to get that shit off live, and they do it every day, like that is their job. It's really hard to do, and maybe one day we'll get there. But yeah, I mean, this Rams Niners game, I watched it last night, and it was just sitting here on my screen. I'm literally sitting across from the normal set. Again, I really want to switch it up, but I just thought that was an interesting game, and everyone's going to be like, oh, this isn't a football guy's game. This isn't a, this, you know, this is a boring game. It's like, dude, anyone who says that a defensive game is boring, never listen to their opinion on football again. Never listen to their football opinion, to their opinion on football again. They don't know shit. Okay, beautiful defense is arguably the most beautiful thing in the game of football. Okay, real ball knowers understand that defensive football is a football guy's game. Because the points and the air raid, and I ain't got nothing against it. I'd get just as entertained watching a shootout as the next guy. But there's something about a gritty, you know what I'm saying, just pound it out, bunch of rain coming down.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Good form tackling football game. Each defense is stifling the other offense. There ain't nothing like that. And for someone to say this is boring, man, you don't know shit. That's just my take on it. You know, it's like, when did we stop liking the 1 yard in a cloud of dust? You know what I mean? Some damn desert football. You know what I mean? So yeah, man. What else? Been getting in a pretty good routine eating, man. I used to be a guy that, like, when I lived in Indianapolis, I was eating out probably twice a day, maybe every meal, every day. I know I was going to Starbucks every morning, spending $5, $6. Well, that was pre-COVID, so maybe it was a couple of dollars less. You know, and then in this, I wasn't eating out three times a day because in the season, we would get the food at the Colts cafeteria for free. That was incredible. It was great, healthy food. That was probably what kept me from becoming a slob, now that I think about it. Because once I got home, stress of the day would kind of start to decompress. Your boy would smoke a little more than he should. I remember I got some herb from the state of Colorado, and I loaded up on it because it was the first time I had ever bought that legally somewhere. And then I had the nerve to bring it back to Indiana, and it lasted me for a good while. And so I would just get home from work. Work was really, you know, work ticket sales in the NFL, especially entry-level ticket sales, when you're calling, you know, 100 people a day, it's not the least stressful. You know, especially, like, sales is such an outcome-oriented craft. You know what I'm saying? You could be as good as hell at your job. You could reach as many people as you humanly can, and sometimes you're just going to have droughts here and there, especially when you're starting out. So I would get home, man, and I just would not have any bandwidth to do anything productive. So of course, you know, and I was a young kid, so I was like learning how to balance work and outside of work. And, you know, I would just go to Culver's every night, man. Spend $14, $15 on crappy food that wasn't doing anything for me. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying there's something wrong with enjoying that, like, every now and then, maybe once every week, once every couple of weeks, you know, you get some fast food that's just good for your soul. You know what I'm saying? But when you're nourishing the soul in that way every day, and you're depleting your funds, spending money on food that's not really going to help you, it starts to become, like, not a good thing. So, you know, I've come a long way from that. You know, last night, man, I wanted a damn treat, and I got a damn Sonic down the street. You know what I'm saying? I got a darn McDonald's, like, right here, could walk to it. And I'm proud of myself because I chose to drive to Sprouts, get a better deal. You know, I grabbed some oatmeal raisin cookies at Sprouts. And you know, it's like, you're going to get a better deal buying something from a grocery store than you are buying a dessert from a fast food joint. So, like, you know, you get probably 12, 14 cookies for like $6. Realized I needed some eggs. They got these really, really good eggs at Sprouts with the, they got these dark amber yolks. I mean, you almost crack the egg in the pan and want to just eat it right there, you know. So I realized I needed eggs. I was like, okay, I got some eggs. And I realized I needed blueberries and bananas and potatoes. And so it turned, and I think part of it too is that, you know, I'm not smoking right now. So I don't know, man. I don't have anything against the weed personally, but I can see how habitually smoking for a long time can kind of maybe alter some of your decision making around some of that stuff. Because, you know, I think I'm on like day 5 or 6 without having any smoke, and I'm feeling a lot clearer already, man. you know, there's some things that I'm realizing are kind of bothering me about certain things that are going on in my life that it's annoying, right? And it's painful sometimes, but I would almost rather just like massage those knots out than just kind of retreat and start smoking again and maybe avoiding some of those issues a little more than I should. You know what I mean? So I think, you know, like if I had had a smoke last night, would I have gone to Sprouts and done that thing for myself that ended up helping me more than just getting a treat for a better deal? I don't know. You know, I don't know. I wonder if I would have just said, fuck it, and gone to Sonic, got a Sonic Blast, spent $6 on something that ain't too good for me. I'm not saying Sprouts oatmeal raisin cookies are good for you, but they're probably a little better for you than a damn processed, barely real milk and ice cream Sonic Blast. You know what I'm saying? I just kind of feel that in my plums, you know? So yeah, I mean, I'm feeling pretty clear, man. Like I said, there's not, once you, here's the thing. If anybody watching this is somebody that smokes cannabis every night, or dude, I know some people that like wake up and start smoking every day. I don't even know, like, I couldn't even begin to understand what life is like living like that for like some time, like even months at a time, let alone, I know some people that, or have known some people that like wake and bake and they've been doing that for years. And it really starts to, I didn't mean for this to be like a drag session on cannabis. I still think it's a great tool in some capacities, but yeah, I mean, beginning of this week, I just chose to take a break, you know, because I've been going through a little bit. You know, I mentioned my breakup at some point on the show. Like, that's not easy. You know, that's not easy. And I've definitely been using, and then there's other stuff. You know, this ain't therapy, so I won't belabor y'all with every detail of my life. But, you know, it's been really easy to kind of just, especially you have a good productive day, like, and everything's kind of done and it's like 6 or 7 p.m. It's really easy to just like go out on the back porch and light up a bowl and kind of just like let go of everything. But when that becomes habitual, and it did for me, you know, it starts to become more of a crutch than an aid. And that's not good, you know, because if you need a crutch, that probably means that there's things going on that need to be addressed that like maybe aren't being addressed. And so, you know, just kind of feeling all that. Again, I don't want this to be a damn therapy session, but it's just kind of like what I got going on right now, you know. But yeah, man. Yeah. What else is going on? I was also thinking about this, like when we start having guests on, man, like I feel like the most stressful part of a podcast, especially when you're starting out, is finding guests every week. And I think when I started this show, when we started this show, I kind of knew that. And so I was like, damn, like, let's find a way to make this a solo production, you know? And I'm grateful that we kind of have built that skill set up, man, because, solo deals, it's not easy. I remember starting this thing. We're coming up on a year of doing this show. I remember starting this thing and kind of just like really, honestly, like feeling the stress of being like, okay, like we made this, we as in me, like me talking to myself, like we made this pact to do this with ourselves, okay? So don't let us down. Like you said you were going to do a shoot today. And so you got to have the studio set up. You need to have clips ready to put on the show to kind of carry it, right? Because like that's really the bedrock of how we got started with this show was like, okay, I'm going to take clips from every week. Frankly, I got the inspiration from Cam Newton's 4th and 1 podcast to show clips on the show every week. And it worked out and it carried it. And I'm sure it wasn't great at the beginning. I'm sure that it still has room for improvement, but now it's like 45, 46, 47 episodes later. I just jumped in here. You know what I'm saying? Like, not to say I didn't really prepare. I just jumped in here. And haven't really used any clips yet, you know? So, Jesus, man, quit texting me. I'm going to put on D&D, baby. I don't know where I was going with that. Oh, yeah, because we're going to start having guests on here. But, like, I'm so grateful that we built that skill of being able to do a solo production so that we know if we get dry on guests for a week or a couple of weeks that we can just jump in here and kind of knock it out and shoot the shit around, you know? But I'm really liking this damn chair. I might start doing all the solo episodes from this chair. I was thinking about getting like a, I don't know, you guys probably don't care. But, I mean, what else? Yeah, so the eating thing, right? I kind of feel pretty dialed in with the food, and I wanted to share that with y'all because it might help somebody. It's, I don't know whether it's a point I'm at in my life that I enjoy this kind of simple way of eating, or if it's not so simple and the knowledge I've been able to accumulate from like mentors and people, has kind of helped me. But like, I will go into Sprouts on a Monday morning. Monday mornings is when Sprouts gets their raw milk in, at least the location I go to. And if you ain't there on Monday morning by 10 a.m., that raw milk's gone for the week. Raw milk's become a staple in my diet, man, whether it's the drinking it with a meal. I love doing that. Every woman I've ever known or been with cringes at the fact that I love a cold glass of milk with dinner. I don't care. You know what I mean? That sounded so like chip on my shoulder. Maybe I got one. Maybe I got a chip on my shoulder about drinking milk. But dude, it's good. I don't care. It's good. And I think a lot of men would side with me on that. If they didn't, they probably got low T. You know,
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Just kidding. I'm just kidding. But no, I'll go into Sprouts on a Monday morning and I'll snag that raw milk. I'll get like 3 half gallons. I'll get like a gallon and a half. Next week, I might get 2 gallons, like 4 half gallons. And it's like $8 a pop, but I would pay for it every time, and I'd probably pay more for it. I was sitting here thinking, like, shit, man. You know, what if I just took my whole net worth and bought some dairy cows and bought a ranch and started trapping raw milk and selling it to Sprouts? They probably would welcome another partner in that, because, like, they can't keep the shelves stocked with raw milk for longer than a day every week right now. I don't know, man. I would love to do that. That would be really scary, though. Like, your whole life is in the rafters of, like, a couple cows and some land that you bought on damn Craigslist, you know? But no, I'll get the raw milk. Look, here's the thing. Like, here's how I lay out my meals, right? Protein, carb, vegetable. And that's it. And so, like, for the past, like, month, 2 months, maybe 3 months, I'll get a couple different pounds of ground meat from Force of Nature, which they sell at Sprouts. They sell it at Whole Foods. I know at Sprouts, they basically... So, Force of Nature, again, is a... I got no financial incentive to back them. I hope to one day. That'd be awesome. But it's a regenerative meat company called Force of Nature, and you can find them on Instagram. They got a good social presence. But they do ground beef, they do ground bison, they do ground venison, and they probably do some other stuff that doesn't necessarily go up on the shelves in stores, and you just gotta buy it from them or something. But they also have, and this is what I eat, they have something they call ancestral blends. Okay, so the ancestral blend is the animal's flesh ground up, and then it's also the animal's liver and the animal's heart ground up. So that's what they call the ancestral blend. And so I will grab some beef ancestral blend. I'll grab some bison ancestral blend. They don't really sell the deer at Sprouts, but they do at Whole Foods. And so if I go to Whole Foods, I will damn sure get the venison or the venison ancestral. And like the last couple of weeks, man, like I get these little organic potato medley. It's like little taters, like that size, and you just cut them up into slices, throw them on the skillet. You know, you get the skillet a little hot. I prefer ghee, which is clarified butter. Apparently that's the most nutrient dense thing that you can cook your stuff in. So I'll cook the taters in ghee, I'll cook the meat in ghee, and whatever I don't eat that meal, I'll shove it in a little glass container, throw it in the fridge, and then after it's cooked, all I got to do is microwave it. And I've heard from people whose opinions I value that, like, maybe microwaving is dicey in regards to how many nutrients are preserved. Like, I've heard from someone I know that that microwaving might kill the nutrients. I don't know. I still use a microwave, but, you know, you dice up the taters. I don't refrigerate or save the taters. I just cut up what I want to eat that time, every time, and I throw it in the skillet, toss it in a bowl, maybe put some cheese on top of it, let it melt. And then Sprouts has these, for the veggies, I'll get frozen veggies because they're still organic. They still got the, you know, they're frozen, but they're still, you know, organic, and they got good nutrition profile. And so, like, for example, like this past week, I've gotten this broccoli rice, which is just broccoli, like really finely diced up. And so let's say I got the meat cooked already. You know, I'll put that in a bowl, and then I'll dice the taters up, get the pan hot, throw some butter. I actually ran out of ghee this week, so I've been using some olive oil, and that's been very good too. Throw the taters in there, season it up with some salt, some pepper, and there's a joint close to me who's a big friend of the gym, called Lee Bones Fine Meats. Mr. Lee Bones, he's good friends with Tim Welch, who's the owner of our gym, and he'll bring in this sometimes when we're training, or you know, we have a get together over at the gym, social, whatever, like Lee Bones will come through. He owns this like badass butchery. They got everything. I'm actually thinking about going over there later. And he's got his own rub. He's got his own blend of seasoning. And Lee Bones, he's got like a big beard. He's actually got a kid working for him named Jaden that has started coming through training. And the kid's a freaking hoss cat. But anyway, Lee Bones will bring out his own rub. He'll bring it to the gym. Lee Bones got a big beard, and he wears a hat a lot. And so on the rub, it's literally like a skeleton skull with a big ass beard, just like his, and a hat. It's badass, dude. But the most badass thing is that the rub is like, so I throw that rub on everything, like my eggs in the morning. Here's what I eat every day. I wake up, wait an hour and a half to have my coffee. Depends on when I eat. Sometimes I'll eat at, I'll wait till like noon to eat. Sometimes I like this morning I ate at like 10 a.m. or 9 a.m. I throw four of these. It's called like Happy Egg. And it's like blue eggs and brown eggs. I throw four eggs in the pan. I'll throw the pan on high heat. Okay. Crack the eggs on the pan before it gets too hot, whisk them up, and then shuffle them eggs around on high heat until they're nice and fluffy, and then I'll season them. My brother taught me that. And then throw some, just, you know, not like a lunch or a dinner portion, but like I'll throw some ground bison or some ground beef on the eggs. Grab some blueberries, grab a banana, drink some Pu'er tea, P-U-E-R-H. I don't know what country it's from, but Tim Ferriss recommended Pu'er tea. Pu'er tea. I'm out here sipping on Pu'er tea. So I have some of that. And then sometimes I'll eat lunch. Sometimes I won't. Sometimes I'll be held over. Hour and a half after I wake up, I'll have my coffee, Press Coffee, best coffee company around, in my opinion. I got some of their espresso right now. It's called Spitball. It's very good, and I'll make some of that, throw some MCT oil, some ghee, some honey, and some raw milk. It's the best latte around, maybe a little ground cinnamon. And then lunch and dinner is literally like the taters, the meat, and some kind of veggie. Like I think I got butternut squash in the freezer. But this riced broccoli, dude, it's frozen, and all you got to do is throw it on a pan until the water melts away, until the ice in it melts away, and it's ready to go. So like I'll literally chef up my taters. Whatever's left in that pan, oil, whatever, it's already hot. You just throw the rice, however much rice broccoli you need, on the pan already, and it soaks up all the oil and all the seasoning and all the juices, so that when you take that broccoli off the plate, off the pan, the pan's pretty much, like, still obviously soap it, wipe it down, whatever, but it's really not that hard, and I haven't gotten tired of the meals yet. Like a lot of people, and I've struggled with this. Like I used to meal prep all the time, and I would just get sick and tired of my meals after, you know, a week of eating them. So, but it's like I don't know. I think the meal prepping thing didn't really work for me because it started, like, you get to like Wednesday or Thursday. And when I say meal prepping, I mean making all of the meals for the week at one time and then boxing it up and throw it into the fridge. I don't think that the meals stay fresh that way. Okay. Even with the only thing I guess you could say that I arguably meal prep is my meat. And the thing with that is that I'll go through a pound of meat in probably 24 to 36, at most 48 hours, maybe 3 days. And even on day two or three, you can definitely see and taste the difference in freshness from the first day that you cook it. Obviously, the first time you cook the meat is going to be the best tasting, probably the most nutrient dense. But it's like I can't help but think, like, if I did the whole meals for the whole week, not just for the 3 days or the 48 hours, but like the whole week, maybe 5 or 7 days, like day five, day six, day seven, it's like, it's ratch, bro. It's ratch. I don't know. So I'm feeling pretty, I don't know. I'm feeling pretty dialed in with the food. And it makes all the difference in the world when you're eating right. I still got to figure out whether my pan is cast iron or not. Because if my pan's not cast iron, then we're going to have big problems. Because apparently there's a ton of issues with eating off of nonstick pans. The problem with me is I just can't tell the difference. So I got to Google. What's the difference? Let's take a look. I'm going to take a look right here. Difference between nonstick and cast iron. Okay. The main difference is that the cast iron is significantly heavier, retains heat much better. Let's see a side by side. I gotta see this. Cast iron. Yeah, man. I think I got nonstick. That's fucked. All right. Well, I'm gonna have to buy a cast iron pan now because the food I'm eating probably is being chemically compromised by my bitch ass nonstick skillet. Yeah, it's bullshit. You know, it's like these fucking food people, man. They're in bed with Big Pharma because Big Pharma makes money off of people being sick. Oh yeah, man. We're getting into dangerous territory right here. How about that boy Luigi, huh? How about that boy? Damn, I really... How about that boy, man? I cook the pizza. I shoot the CEO. What's that fucking fat-ass CEO's name? Brian something? Oh, he had kids. What about everybody else's fucking kids, huh? What about their insurance claims? How about their kids? You know? And then someone asked, I think my brother asked me, he was like, isn't it like a leftist outlook to agree with murdering the United Health CEO? And I was like, yeah, probably. But, you know, anyone who's smart knows that if you align with every opinion on one side or the other side, you're probably a numbskull. You know what I'm saying? You're probably not an independent thinker. Look, should he have smoked him? I don't know. D's done. Could they have... Oh, man. Could they have kidnapped and tortured him? Probably would have been logistically a bit harder, but you probably could have gotten the same point across without costing a man his life. But... You know, here's the thing. United Health's probably already fucking replaced that guy. Stock's taking a beating, thank God. You know, I got a big problem with big healthcare. I got a big problem with...
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Health insurance. I got a big problem with all that because I saw a video, man, and I really want to save it until I have my buddy on because he will have some fucking hilarious takes around it. But basically, the healthcare sector has something called the playbook. And it's basically anytime someone like RFK, anytime someone comes out against the healthcare industry and talks about their corruption or that they don't actually care about the people, and it's someone of influence that might actually shift the cultural narrative, the healthcare industry has this fucking thing, this strategy they call the playbook. And like, first they'll say that, you know, someone is, I can't remember, but there's like stages to it. There'll be like the first round of like, and all the media companies are in bed with the healthcare companies too, because the healthcare companies got all the money and the media companies don't really offer anything except parroting what's actually going on in the world. And they're always scraping for revenue. And so like the media, they'll start with a media campaign and smear like someone like RFK. I can't remember it, man. I'll just have to show the playbook on another episode when my boy Big Deal comes on. But I saw that Whoopi Goldberg was freaking hollering about RFK. Whoopi Goldberg has publicly criticized Robert F. Kennedy. Of course she has. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s initiative to improve public health through better diet and exercise, accusing him of fat shaming. Oh, my God. Y'all don't want to get me on this, man. Y'all do not want to get me on this. Goldberg argued that some individuals are genetically predisposed. Oh, so poor. I'm genetically predisposed to being fat. Shut the fuck up. Sorry. Larger size and should not be shamed for it. Meanwhile, RFK Jr. advocates for health improvements through lifestyle changes without relying on medications like Ozempic, highlighting a broader debate on obesity, genetics, and health solutions. Oh, my God. Yeah, she needs to take her fat ass on somewhere. God, she literally looks like a dude, man. How are we doing on time? 48 minutes. We've been partying. RFK Jr. said this. Dear Whoopi, I appreciate your perspective on my Oh, it's a parody account. Never mind. Parody account. Yeah. I don't have much to say about that. I mean, we all know who's right and who's wrong. And it's almost like the people on the wrong side of the aisle are not owning up to why they are tards. They're just like doubling down and digging their heels in, hoping that like something will turn. It's really sad if you think about it. What else? What else? Yeah, there's a lot of good juice in here. I'd love some. I was thinking at the beginning of the show like how I'd love some nicotine in my lip right now, but I just saw a thread on Twitter about nicotine and got me thinking. But I'll probably just wait. Let's see. Oh yeah, there's dude. When I have Big Deal on, dude. It's gonna be a funny ass episode because. There's, all right, This is probably the best clip I've seen in a long ass time. Long ass time. Okay. Let's give her a rip here. Big Ted.
Big Ted.
Figure it out.
We already got 4 or 5 coming over.
Yeah, figure it out.
Okay. Yeah. No, she... Babe, you're headed out, right?
Angry ass bitch.
The whole day. No, she went... She goes...
Are you on your lunch later?
I think a couple of the guys are coming over a little late.
Big Ted. What's up, fucker? That just reminded me a lot of my, reminded me of a lot of my college friends. And it's also like this, like, here's the thing, right? I'm going through a little something with a woman. And I saw that and it just kind of hit home because anytime, man, I should stay off of that. But there's a theme here. There's a theme here with this video. My boy in the video, he's got his robe and he's ready for some ball. And he's ready to watch ball with the boys. And the broad is just kind of like hating her life. And it's almost like she's hating her life because her boy is enjoying life. See a theme? I don't mean to get like that. I'm trying to keep the good vibes on this show. But see a theme? Do you see a theme? Okay. Alrighty then. Yeah, so here's the thing. The Bengals got a path to the playoffs. I was texting my buddies this yesterday. My buddy George responded with a very rude picture of a blindfolded horse and his owner taking a shotgun to the horse's head after I said that. But the Bengals, they have a path. Okay. And there was a news anchor that really broke it down well enough that I might be able to break it down for you guys. So basically the Bengals are sitting at 5-8 with 4 games left. There's a game that they have against Cleveland remaining. There's a game that they have against the Titans remaining. They've got the Broncos, and then there is one more game against Pittsburgh. Okay, so that's the Bengals' last 4 games. The Bengals have to win out, number one. The game against the Broncos is going to be huge because Denver is the number one contender for that last wild card playoff spot. So Denver's got Cincinnati. They've got Kansas City in week 18, and that might be a dicey one because Kansas City will probably have the bye locked up and home field advantage locked up. So they might rest their starters. They might have to come up with a miracle playing Carson Wentz and all that. But ironically, we'll be rooting for the Chiefs in Week 18 against the Broncos. Basically, long story short, Denver Broncos have to lose 3 out of 4 of their last games. One of them's Cincinnati. That's assuming one of them's Cincinnati. And then they got the Chargers, which they could very much lose. And then I can't remember the last game they have. So there's that. So right now, we've got the Bengals. They got to win out. Okay, last 4 games, got to win the last 4 games in a row. The Broncos have to lose 3 out of their last 4. Okay, the Bengals also need 2 other things. And I get it, like it's a long shot. Like Cincinnati's probably got like a 1 or 2% chance. I'm probably wasting my time talking about this. But as it goes for the Indianapolis Colts need to lose two out of their last four. The Colts have a cakewalk the last four games. I think they got the Titans, they got the Jaguars, they got the Giants. And then they got someone worth a damn in that fourth spot, I believe. Okay, so that has to happen. And then the Dolphins have to lose two out of their last four. And I think that is probably one of the more reasonable things that can happen because Dolphins haven't showed us much lately, and I think they got some decent opponents coming up in the last four games. So let's see. Dolphins, yeah. So the Dolphins have the Texans, and they got the 49ers. They got the Browns and the Jets. So presumably, you'd think the Dolphins should lose to the Texans. You'd think the Dolphins should lose to the Niners. After last night, I don't know if Dolphins losing to the Niners is even realistic. And then, let's see. You got the Colts remaining schedule. So let's say the Dolphins lose to the Texans. Let's say the Dolphins lose to the Niners. There's one box checked. Okay. Colts got to lose two out of their next four. So this weekend, the Colts have got the Broncos. That's kind of a toss-up game if you're a Bengals fan hoping for a playoff berth because, you know, it helps you if the Colts beat the Broncos to get that one out of three losses checked for the Broncos, but also if Indy's got to lose two out of their next three, it's the Titans, it's the Giants, it's the Jaguars. Now, I will say the Colts have historically choked bad against the Jags in a lot of AFC South games, just something with that divisional matchup. I experienced it selling for Indy, when I was a part of that organization, we always used to lose to the Jaguars in stupid games. So I think that's doable, right? So let's say the Colts lose to Denver this week. Let's say the Colts lose to the Jags week 18. That box is checked. And then you got, why would I want the Browns? I'm typing B-R-O-N. There we go. Broncos remaining schedule. So you got that game against Indy coming up this week. They got the Chargers. They got the Bengals. They got the Chiefs. So basically, if Denver wins this game against Indy, they got to lose out. They got to lose out. And that could be doable if Kansas City wasn't presumably sitting all their starters in week 18. So Kansas City's twos are going to basically have to beat the Broncos. So it's not looking likely. It's not looking good for the Bengals even. But there is a path. And we know what that path is. And we can't control that path, right? If we don't make it to the playoffs, that's on us. There have been a lot of opportunities for this team to win. And who knows? Maybe it'll be better for the organization long term if they don't make it this year. But it sounds like, based on what I'm seeing Burrow saying in press conferences, based on what I'm seeing with T. Higgins changed agents, he fired his old agent. You know, Joe Burrow goes up in a press conference and says, hey, it's going to be a big problem if we don't re-sign T. All this stuff is going around now. Of course, we haven't heard a word from our owner. Of course, we haven't heard a word from our front office. They're a bunch of decrepit, nepotistic idiots. But Joe Burrow is probably the player, the number one player in terms of leverage that this organization's ever had. In terms of leverage that a player has and what he says and how heavily regarded that is within the organization. Joe's the guy. And he's saying, basically, it's going to be a problem if we don't re-sign T. So that's encouraging. And then the agent move, T. Higgins firing his old agent. That's encouraging. and hiring Jamar Chase's current agent. That's encouraging. This organization's going to need to pay up. It's just like any other factor. Like, it's just like anything else in business. Scared money don't make no money. It just don't. So yeah, man, I think we made good time. Yeah, we're at about an hour. Try and get this up for you guys as soon as possible. Appreciate the support. Anybody who's watched this far, it seems like most people on YouTube, they watch, but they don't subscribe. So, if you like the show, man, help me out. Help us out. Hit subscribe. Click like. Click comment. That'll help us. Be able to share the show with more people. And we'll see you next week. In the jar. Back at you. See ya.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.